We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Let me start by saying this. You know, we've been, the Lord's really been dealing with us over the last couple of weeks to increase our vision for the region, to increase what we're doing, to reach more people, to bring in the harvest, to train more people, to have a greater impact on this region for the sake of the gospel. Amen. And when was that prayer meeting? Was that about...
That was Monday, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, Monday, we had a prayer meeting here at the church, and I was really just had Colossians 4:2 stirring in my heart, which is where Paul was asking for, telling them to pray for him, that God would open a door for him to speak the word, the mystery of Christ, and that had been on my heart, like, Lord, open doors for us to be able to preach more, to be able to more effectively minister the gospel. And so we were just praying about it, believing that God would stir up on the inside of us a boldness to go out and to see our city shaken. And the Lord has been really moving in our hearts to see Rochester shaken, to see this region shaken, to see more people getting saved, more people being impacted. So all of that had been stirring up on the inside of us. And then, so that was Monday night, the prayer meeting. Well, the following morning at 8:50 in the morning, I got a phone call from a pastor friend of mine. And he said, you know, I mean, he never calls me at 8:50 in the morning. You know, it was almost rare to hear from him, so I knew that this was like an unusual phone call. So, you know, after the formalities were over, I was like, he said, well, there's something I wanted to talk to you. I said, well, I was hoping you were going to say that. I mean, I assumed so. And he said, well, there's actually a church nearby that we want you guys to take over. So for all of us, this means we're going to be having a second location. We're going to become the pastors of not just this church. Don't worry, we're not leaving River Rochester. We're staying right here, but we're going to be taking over the River Church in Buffalo. So there's over the, you know, they started their church 1 year before us, and so they've been going this whole time, and there's just been some situations taking place in the church where the pastors decided that the best thing for them to do would be to step down from the ministry. And so this pastor friend of mine that called me is on their board, and he said, you know, we decided we were going to pray and believe God that someone would come and step in here and take over the church. And so when I hung up the phone with this other pastor from Buffalo, he said, immediately your name jumped in my spirit. And so he said, well, I'm not going to make a quick decision. I'll pray about it. And so he prayed for a couple days and he couldn't shake that feeling. So he called me up, and it was the day that he called me was the morning after we had just been praying for open doors. And, you know, I mean, with them having been in Buffalo, it was another river church. I was like, well, I'm not going to we're not going to go towards Buffalo because we don't want to step on any toes. And, you know, we weren't going to do that, but we really wanted to, you know, see not just Rochester impacted, but this whole region. So that was a total answer to prayer for us. So we will not just become the pastor. They're actually giving the entire ministry. They own a building that will become ours. There's already a church, a group of people that are meeting there, which we will become the pastors of. And so, and it's in Lackawanna in Buffalo. If you know Buffalo, I mean, that Lackawanna is an area that needs the gospel. Amen. It's an area that, you know, there's been a lot of issues in the past. There's crime. There's a lot of things going on there. And so, you know, it's interesting because the Lord has just been putting on our hearts so strongly to go into the inner cities of Rochester and around Rochester and minister in areas where probably most people aren't inclined to go in and minister to. And then this is actually going to be in an area, it's literally perfect. I mean, I've been there a few times. When Pastor Rodney came, I was there. I've been there a couple times before that. It's right in the heart of a huge residential area in Lackawanna. And so we're believing God that we're just going to go in there, that we're going to shake things up, that God is going to move in a powerful way. Now, that means that things are, I told you guys, we're not just going to the next level here. We're going to skip the next level and go to the level after that. Remember when I said that? So now you understand what I'm talking about. Because, you know, it's interesting, the timing, because at the beginning of this year, we were actually believing God to start a second location in one of the nearby towns. We were hoping to get into Albion. And, you know, we put an offer on a building there, and we were making all these plans. All right, we're going to start the second location. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. But I believe that this is the reason. I believe that the Lord knew what was about to take place and that he had already been preparing us. So when the pastor asked me about it, I was like, we pretty much already have everything planned already. We were already, you know, gearing up to start a second location and we're ready to go for it. So he was like, no, I mean, you should really pray about this. It's like, no, this is already what we've been believing for. I don't even need to pray. You know, it's Brother Jonathan Shuttlesworth, he sometimes says, you know, with the really big things in his life, he didn't even need to pray about them because he already knew he had the answer, that he'd been believing and waiting for that to happen. And when this happened, that was basically like the same thing for us. It's like, yes, we don't need, I mean, we've been praying about it. We had the prayer meeting. Julia told me that morning, like, because like I woke her up and told her, I was like, we have some big news, and I told her we're going to Buffalo, and she goes, I knew it. I was like, what do you mean you knew it? She said, last night at the prayer meeting when we were all praying, I felt in my spirit that we would be going to Buffalo. So it was like the Lord had already been confirming to her. And so, yeah, it's just totally awesome. There will be some changes that will have to take place because we're going to preach in both churches Sunday morning, which, you know, Buffalo is, the church is a little bit over an hour drive from here, which is going to make things a little bit interesting, but it'll be really good. So we're going to have to change some service times and we're going to have to mix things around. And so ultimately, this is going to be the theme of my message today, is we are believing God to produce more eternal fruit. Ultimately, for me, that's all I care about. Like, we love Rochester, we love Buffalo, but ultimately, we are believing God to increase the amount of eternal fruit that we're producing, and the only eternal fruit that really you take with you is people. So if we can go to Buffalo and reach more people, then that's exactly what we want to do. How many of you guys are excited about that? All right, good. I thought for a second you guys looked a little nervous. And I know, you're probably thinking, like, how's this all going to work? Don't worry, we're going to figure this out. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching for the first time in the church in Buffalo. Now, how many of you guys were here this past Wednesday night? And my wonderful wife, just from what I'm told, rocked the house. That she just tore, all right, yeah. All right, so, I mean, come on, guys. You can do better than that. my lovely wife is going to be ministering here next Sunday at, you know, our normal service time, and then I'll be ministering in Buffalo. Their service starts, as of now, right at 10:30 as well, and then I'll announce, because the church over there's just been some complications over there that's been taking place, but we're going to go in there and sort everything out, and we'll announce to them everything that's going on and that's going to be taking place. And then the following Sunday, so two Sundays from now, that's when we'll have our service time changed. Most likely what'll happen is that this location will go to a little bit of an earlier service, and over there we're going to bump the service time back a little bit. It's just going to be what's going to be best for us, and I believe best for them. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but really, we're going to need everybody that's part of this church to really just come behind the vision of the ministry, come behind and pull together, and we're really believing God to shake this region, and we need all of you involved. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just like so excited. Like, I can't express how excited I am to get started with this. But I'm gonna ask my wife, what is on your heart? Tell them what's on your heart about this.
Well, that Monday night when we were praying and the Lord put it in my heart, He said, you're gonna be doing this in Buffalo. And you know, recently, most of you know that we've been meeting with the mayor's assistant. And so we're starting to, in Rochester, so we've been starting to do, like, set up and pick different locations to do these outreaches, to do, like, these little mini crusades in the city of Rochester. So I thought that's what the Lord was talking about, was, like, that's what we would be doing in Buffalo. But still, when He called, I was like, well, that's, like, I knew the Lord was telling me, like, prepare, like, get ready, you're going to Buffalo. But it was, like, so exciting to me. We're believing for souls, and we have been pressing in and believing, you know, we've been asking for the heathen, we've been asking for the nations. And so, you know, we are so excited to get started, to get in there and to love on the people, you know, and we know that the church here, like, nothing's changing here other than really the time change, and that, like, we're believing for leaders to come up out of here. We're still planning on launching the Bible school this fall. We're still planning on figuring out in the works of launching a daycare in the fall the same time as the Bible school. And so we're not going backwards. We're only going forwards. And so this is what we've been pressing in for. This is what we've been believing for. And to see this whole region just touched and changed by the power and the presence of God, it can't get better than that. So hallelujah. We're so excited, and we love you all so much. And so we're so thankful for this church here, and really, you know, going to the next level with us. So
next Sunday, you're going to tear the place up again?
Get ready. I'm tearing it up. Get ready. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really fun and exciting. So I'm ready.
Love you.
Love you.
Amen. So it turns out I just have to leave my wife here for a week, and she just decides that she's just going to, like, become like this Holy Ghost, like, you know, Navy SEAL. I mean, she just rocked the place. I mean, you know, she did, like, clergy on patrol on Monday, where she went with the mayor and some, you know, people of the city around there, sharing the gospel with people. Tuesday, she's like, I'm doing a prayer meeting on Tuesday. Wednesday night, she's preaching. Thursday, she said, I was so bored because I didn't have anything, like, scheduled. Friday, she's working with people in the church. Saturday, she's leading soul winning. So, I mean, like, I might just skip town more often. You know what I mean? Who knows what happens when I leave? I mean, like, who knows what I'm going to come back to? But, I mean, I couldn't have been more proud of my wife. I mean, like, you know, leaving, I was like, man, I mean, we had a lot scheduled with a lot going on. I was like, you know, I just hope everything goes okay. And man, she came through in such a big way. And I mean, during the service Wednesday night, I was in service in Tampa, and I was getting text message on my phone, your wife is lighting this place up. And I'm like, praise the Lord. So it's just, I'm so in love with her and so thankful for everything that she's doing. And I mean, you know, when I told her what I had learned about taking over the church in Buffalo, you know, it wasn't like, how are we going to do this? Like, you know, we already have, you know, one location that we're working on, and I have a baby, and it's an hour drive. There was not one ounce of complaint. It was just like, let's do this. Let's take ground. Let's expand God's kingdom. Amen. So, I mean, my wife, she is a fearless leader, and I'm just so excited for that, for everything that's going forward. You know, like she said, we're going to be starting the Bible school. I think, you know, I talked to the dean of the Bible school in Tampa, and I talked to Pastor Rodney, and we're most likely going to be calling it the River School of Ministry. We'll have, like, an official announcement, official times and all of that. What it's looking like, you know, because, like, the church in Buffalo, they do a midweek service as well, and so what we'll probably end up doing is having Sunday morning here, Sunday morning there, and then Monday, Tuesday night, we'll teach Bible school here. Once we launch that, it's going to either be at the end of August or the beginning of September, and then we'll do Wednesday night service here at 7, Thursday night service in Buffalo at 7, and then Friday and Saturday will be days for outreaches and for soul winning. And so we're already planning our citywide outreaches in Rochester, but what's actually really exciting about the location in Buffalo, it's actually just 10 minutes from downtown, but where it is, the building itself, it's like the perfect location to just do an outreach right there at the church. I mean, you don't have to go anywhere. It's like surrounded by houses, surrounded by people. I mean, they, in the past, you know, couple years, when they put on an outreach, they have no problem packing the place out with 200, 250 people. So, I mean, like, the people are there, you know, they're really going to need us to come in there and just love on them. And if you're, you know, you're part of the team here, if the Lord pray about it, ask the Lord, what can you do to get involved? Not even just here, but think about, like, man, because, like, you know, I've been there, there's going to need to be some training, some different things that we can help out over there with. But really, they're just going to need to be loved on. You know, anytime like you have, you know, a pastor that you know, things happen in the family, you know, and he's stepping down, they just really are going to need to be loved on, and they're going to need to see good, godly Christian marriages. And so we're just going to go in there. We're going to love on them. We're going to bring the vision of the river and expand God's kingdom. So it's just totally awesome. We're just so excited. Also, like I'm telling you, like it's like God is accelerating everything that we're doing. He's like multiplying everything that we're doing. He's bringing increase to everything that we're doing. It's just all happening at such a ridiculous, crazy rate. You know, for the last couple of years, we've been wanting to put our services online on YouTube Live, on Facebook Live, but really the holdup has been is that the cable companies weren't allowing us to put internet in here, or actually they said that we could, but they were going to charge us several thousand dollars for an installation to do that. And I'm like, well, we're renting here, so I don't really want to pay several thousand dollars to install internet if we might be gone next year. So that's been like the holdup for us. But I mean, it's been on my heart. Like, we need to get our services online so that we can reach, you know, more people in the city, more people in the region. Well, last week before I went down to the conference, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to call the cable company again. And I talked to this guy, and he was like, look, I've worked here for 9 years. I don't know why those people were telling you that they were going to charge you, because we cover the installation expenses up to $5,000. So and there's cable lines already running by your church, so you should be pretty much all set. They came and they did the survey last week. So hopefully this week sometime we should be having like dedicated like business class internet here, so we can start streaming our services, which it's awesome. So that will require, you know, camera crews, camera operators or whatever, but we'll get that taken care of. So if you like operating a camera, please let us know, because we will gladly get you involved in that. But then, because we want to, and we'll pay to even advertise those services, like pay, you can expand the reach of those videos, but we're gonna do a lot. I mean, we're gonna crush it. We're gonna kick the devil in his backside all over Rochester, all the way to Buffalo, all the way. I mean, like, it's not like this. It's not like we're the Buffalo Bills, all right? Like, we're not gonna lose. Okay, we're the devil's already lost. We're the winners. Amen. Now I can't say that kind of stuff over in the Buffalo location. They'll probably take you out back and lynch you if you talk like that over there. I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out, you know. But, you know, I like picking on the Bills because they're terrible. So we'll see. We'll see how long I survive over there. I mean, we're supposed to be persecuted for the gospel, but, I mean, we'll see if I get some persecution over there for picking on them. But, yeah, so it's just totally awesome. I mean, everything that God's going to do here, we're taking it to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And one thing, you know, one of the things that really encouraged us was when Pastor Tommy and Santa were here, they were talking with us, and they were like, you know, we started our Bible school the month after we started the church, and we only had 20 people in the church. And, you know, for me, I've been thinking, like, well, we need to wait till we have more people to do these things that we want to do. But when they were here, I felt so challenged. Like, no, you don't have to wait. Just start doing what God's called you to do, and the people will come, the finances will come. Just speak the vision, preach the vision, and people will come. And I mean, people that have their heart after the kingdom of God will come and join us. Amen? So we're just going to start doing everything that God's called us to do, and believe that God will send us the helpers, believe that God will send us the equipment, believe that God will send us church buildings, whatever it is that we need. I mean, it's just totally supernatural what God can do. I mean, in one day, we went from owning no churches, you know, we're renting here, now we're owning a church building and a second location. I told my wife we weren't going to say this, but I mean, like, the assessed value of the church building over there is pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's like over like $1 million. So I mean, it's not like we're moving into a shed, you know what I mean? So it's like really awesome. Like, there's just, I mean, we're going there this afternoon. We'll hopefully be able to take some pictures or something, to be able to maybe a video or something that we can show you guys next week of what the place looks like. But how many of you guys are excited? Amen. Hallelujah. God has big things in store for us as this church. I mean, really, the way that it's been tricky for me thinking about like that church and this church, but really we're going to be one church. You know what I mean? We have one vision. And who knows what's going to happen beyond Rochester and Buffalo? I mean, things are escalating. You know, I shared last week, Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says three times, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming quickly, I am coming quickly. Three separate times in the last chapter of the Bible. So we need to live accordingly. Jesus says, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly. So in my natural mind, thinking about, well, we really honestly have enough going on here right now that we don't necessarily need to take a second location over an hour away that's really going to, you know, bring a lot of extra work to the ministry. But Jesus says, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly, I am coming quickly. So whatever we can do to produce more fruit, whatever we can do to produce a greater harvest for eternity, that's what we're going to do. You know, recently, I mean, with just different situations, you know, that come up here in the church, you know, my wife will ask me, like, should we do this or should we do that? And, you know, different people asking different things of the way that we handle things. And, you know, we used to just kind of, like, think about it, like, yeah, we could do that. And now, or maybe we shouldn't. But now when my wife asks me a question or something's brought to our attention, the way that we think about it is will this produce greater eternal fruit? Or is this just something that we could do? We think about, is this something that a really large vision for a ministry could do? Or is this something that a really small vision for a church could do? Because we're believing God to do something big. We're believing God to reach many, many people with the gospel. We're believing God to raise up ministers. We're believing God to see many lives impacted with the gospel. So if people, you know, if ideas come or we could go do this or we could go do that, if it doesn't line up with the vision of what God has called us to do, if it isn't big, the answer is no. Because we want to do big things for God's kingdom, you know? I mean, some of the things that, you know, we were talking about with Pastor Tommy was like, you know, the way that sometimes we spend our time and the Lord had been convicting us about it. And it's like, and we're like, well, how do we change this? And his suggestion was, you need to get busy, busy, busy with God's kingdom. And so it wasn't a quick work of, it wasn't like the Lord had to take us through this long process of, you know, us going through hills and valleys. It was like, no, we're like, you know what? Absolutely. I received that correction from the Lord. And we are going to get busy about our Father's business. Amen? So Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, we'll take vacations or whatever sometime, but Sunday to Sunday, we're here to see God's kingdom expand in this region, in this whole place, because Jesus says, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming quickly, I'm coming quickly. And Peter wrote about it. He said, in the last days, scoffers will arise and they'll say, yeah, but you've been saying from the beginning of time that Jesus was going to come, that God was going to do all these things. And look, nothing has changed yet. And he says, exactly in that moment, in that time, when people begin to arise and laugh at Christians and say, well, you guys have been saying that God is going to send Jesus back quickly for a long time. And that's exactly when people are least expecting Jesus to come back is when he'll come back. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back like a thief in the night. And you don't prepare for, you're not like ready and waiting for the thief to come. He comes when you're least expecting it. This is the way that Jesus is coming back. So we do not have time to waste. We do not have time to just do little nice Christian things the way that a traditional Christian church would do. If it is not big vision, if it is not big thinking, if it is not going to expand God's kingdom in a radical way, we don't need to do it. But if we can do something that will reach people for eternity, if we can do something that will impact the members of this church and see their lives impacted, that will cause greater fruit to arise in their life, we're all about that. I want to ask you the question, what eternal fruit is your life producing? What eternal fruit am I producing in my life? What eternal fruit is my life producing? When I go to heaven, there will be a day, whether Jesus comes back and takes me up in the clouds or whether I die and go to heaven, there will be a day that I will stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and I will give an account of my life's actions, of my life's words, of the things I did and the things that I didn't do, the things that he called me to do, the things that I should have done but never did, and the things that I did. Whether for good or bad, there will be an account given for my life when I go stand before Jesus. So the question that I have to ask myself is, what eternal fruit is my life producing? How many lives is my life impacting? And you don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to ask that question and to answer that question. Every single member of the body of Christ should be asking that question: how can I make my life count for eternity? How can I increase the fruit? You know, farmers are smart. Right? Farmers, like a good farmer, like you got a lazy farmer that's just getting by or whatever, lets his crops go full of weeds, whatever. But a smart farmer is constantly figuring out ways that he can increase the quality of the fruit, increase the amount of fruit, increase the food production so that he can have a greater harvest. Jesus said that the harvest is truly great, that the harvest is ripe, that the harvest is ready, but we need more laborers. And I shared this a couple Wednesday nights ago. When he said that, he was talking to the 70 that he was sending out as laborers. So he wasn't talking to people, because people say, well, you know, I'm just called to pray. No, you're not. You're called to be a laborer. Yes, pray. But if all the church ever does is pray, nothing will happen. You have to pray, but then you have to go out and do something about it. Amen? We can pray for Rochester all we want. Hashtag pray. Right? You can put it on your Instagram. Hashtag pray for Paris. Hashtag pray for whatever. But unless somebody goes, and confronts those people with the gospel message, and say, your life doesn't have to be this way. Your life matters. Your life counts for eternity. Let me tell you about my wonderful Savior Jesus. Unless somebody goes and tells people, it doesn't matter. You can pray and pray and pray. And I'm all for prayer. We do prayer meetings here. I'm all for prayer. Basically, any revival that you ever read about, that was worth reading about, was birthed from prayer. But it was also birthed from somebody getting up and declaring the word of God. Laying hands on the sick, amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I suppose this morning I should read some scripture to make this an official sermon, amen? Let's read. Actually, you know what? If you have the Bible app in your phone, there's this new translation that they just put out, and I was talking to some of the pastors down in Florida. I'm usually very skeptical of all the new translations, but they told me this is a good one. If you have the Bible app, it's called the TPT. So I'm reading from the TPT, which stands for the Passion Translation. And let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I'm using my phone because I don't actually have a physical copy of that translation, but I actually really like this translation. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, so now, beloved ones, stand firm, stable, and enduring. Live your lives with an unshakable confidence. An unshakable confidence. Man, when you get filled up with the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with the Spirit of God, you live your life with an unshakable confidence. When you get filled up with the Word of God, and you know that God says that I am more than a conqueror, that I have the greater one living on the inside of me, that God always leads me in triumph, that God always brings me the victory, you can walk with a confidence, an unshakable confidence, that no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what's coming your way, you don't back down. You don't have to just back off and cry and boohoo and feel bad for yourself, but you have an unshakable confidence because you know my God says in his word, and you know you're confident in God. It goes on to say, we know that we prosper. Man, we know that we prosper. You know, I don't understand people that work so hard to prosper and yet hate the gospel message of prosperity. It makes no sense. You don't believe in prosperity, yet you're working 70 hours a week. What's wrong with you? Why don't you just believe God for prosperity, embrace it, and take a load off? I mean, not in the sense that you could just get lazy about it, but I mean, God will help you prosper a lot quicker than you can make you prosper. Amen? We know that we prosper and excel in every season by serving the Lord. That's what serving the Lord does for you. Serving the Lord will cause you to prosper and excel in every season, because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive with fruit that endures. Because we are assured that our union with the Lord makes our labor productive and fruit that endures. Our labor should be productive, and it should be producing fruit that endures. Listen, my friends probably know this. I like video games more than I should, right? It's fun. I mean, like, I know zombies aren't a real thing, but I like killing them, all right, in video games. And I shouldn't be telling you this as your pastor, but it's true nonetheless. But I had to take stock of my life, and I had to ask myself a question. Is the time that I am spending killing fake zombies on a TV screen for a couple hours, is that producing fruit that endures? I think we all know the answer to that question. Absolutely not. You couldn't come up with a worse way to waste your time than sitting in front of a television screen killing zombies. Granted, I mean, like, look, I'm not, all right. It's just a straight up waste of time. And I'm not saying that, like, every minute of your life has to be spent working. There are times where you can relax and maybe, you know, kill one or two, but I mean, like, you know, when it becomes a problem where you're just like, when you wake up and you're thinking about, like, video games, when you, I can't wait to get off work so I can go home and just veg out and relax or whatever. You have to ask yourself, are you living in a way, are you laboring to produce eternal fruit? Is your life producing fruit that will last, that will endure? And it's not just talking about in this life. When you die, when you go to heaven, because I'm believing that everyone here today is going to heaven, amen? When you go to heaven, you will stand before Jesus and you will say, look, my life produced fruit. And you can turn around and see the fruit standing there with you. Your life should have an impact on other people so that they go to eternity. You know, I heard the story of one of the soul winners yesterday that, you know, they had come out with us soul winning the previous time that we went, I think last month when Yana was here, and was, from what I'm told, a little bit timid, sharing the gospel with people. And then there was a tragic event that took place in a life of somebody that they knew. This young person passed away, very sad story. And then this soul winner came out soul winning again and was just extremely bold, going up to everybody they possibly could, sharing the gospel. I believe led 4 or 5 people to the Lord when the previous time, I don't remember, but it wasn't maybe as many. And the team lead said, well, what was it? What made the difference? It was they realized we don't have as much time as we like to think. There is an eternity. People are dying, and they will stand and make an account of their life. And this person said, I'm going to make sure that I reach as many people as I possibly can, because I realize that this life is short, and we need to make an impact on eternity. We need to have a revelation. Let's read a scripture that shows this. I think it's James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I believe it's verse 14. Right after the book of Hebrews. Or is it right before the book of Hebrews? Right before. Yeah, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this. Let's actually start in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. And in the Amplified, it's in the Amplified version, it says a mist, a puff of smoke that is here momentarily and then is gone. Really, if you think about it, in the span of eternity, even in the span of humanity, our history, your life is a dot on the radar. You know, thousands of years. And, you know, if you're doing really well, you might live for 120. But many people don't even make it to that. Your life is just like, it's a vapor, it's a mist, it's here. And like, I mean, if you ever see some mist on a hot day, as soon as the sun comes out and hits that, it's poof, gone. You know, fog, it's there. You know, sometimes you see fog in the morning, sun comes up, hits that, gone. That's how quick our life is. You know, and I'm turning 30 this year, and you know, when I was a kid, I knew that once I turned 30, I would officially be old. Now, granted, I rebuke my younger self, and I say that I am not turning old this year. You know, I'm just getting started. But I mean, it's amazing at how fast time begins to progress the more years that you take on in this life. The older you get, you just begin to see we don't have as much time as we once thought we did. You know, I used to think when I was younger, well, you know, I'll get serious about life and I'll do this, this, and this when I'm older. But the older you get, you realize that you don't have that time to waste. So, you know, how is your life producing eternal fruit? At home, with your family, your life should be producing eternal fruit. If you're a parent, you are raising eternal fruit. You are raising young men and women of God that will make an impact on their generation. So don't take your responsibility lightly. If you're in school, the people that are surrounding you every single day, unless you go to a much different school than I went to, most of them are not on the narrow path going to heaven, but are on the broad path that leads to destruction. How is your life impacting them? I mean, when I was in high school, this was before I knew anything about how to go soul winning, after my life had gotten touched by the Holy Spirit, I thought to myself, I need to begin to impact these people around me because they have no clue the way that they're going. They don't even know about heaven and hell. They don't even know about eternity. They don't even really believe that it exists. How can I make an impact on them? And like I said, I didn't know how to go soul. No one told me that as a Christian, I can tell somebody right there about Jesus and pray with them right there and see them pray and give their life to Jesus. I didn't know that I could do that. I thought that I had to take them to church, and I thought I had to bring them down to the altar and make them repent for their wicked ways. No, I thought that it had to happen in church, because that's where I got it. And unfortunately, how do you grow up in a church and not know that you can tell people about Jesus? There is something very wrong with that picture. You know, my sweet, wonderful parents, they came down to Bible school, to my Bible school where I was, and they began to see that, you know, they got trained up in soul winning, and they're like, man, this is awesome. We didn't even really know that it could be this easy to just go out and tell people about Jesus and people actually want to pray with you. We thought it was hard, right? But they came and they saw, like, man, this is awesome. You just go out on the street. You just tell people Jesus loves you. He died for you. He has a plan for you. Pray this prayer with me. And people, they want to know Jesus. They want to know God, but they need somebody to tell them. So you would think that when they came back from visiting me in Tampa, so excited to tell the church, we found a way to so easily minister to the lost. We found a way to bring in the lost. You would think that everybody would be like, please tell us. We've been dying to know this answer. We want to know. How can we make telling people about Jesus so much easier? You don't have to start in the book of Revelation talking about the trumpet and the bowl judgments. You don't have to start talking about how God is going to turn all the water in the world into blood. And that many people are going to die, and a third of the fish in the sea, they're all going to, you don't have to start there. You can, if you have 20 hours of time with this person to explain. You don't have to start in the book of Leviticus and go through the book of Numbers. You don't have to start there. You can start at the cross of Christ, at the cross on Calvary, and tell them about Jesus. And you would think that, hey, this is wonderful. It makes it so easy. Even if the pastor just had his own interests in mind, you would think, this could be a way that we could grow our church. For that reason alone, you would think the pastor would be on board. But when they told him that, they got no support. Nobody wanted to join them. What is wrong with that picture when one of the major Pentecostal denominations that when it was founded, shook our country? The ministers used to be obligated. It was you could not be a minister in this denomination until you show us that you've had miracles take place in your ministry. What happened to that? Now you just go online, type in, your answers in on a paper, and you're ordained. Let me tell you, if anyone here, you're worried that people aren't going to accept you if you're not ordained, I'm telling you, just go online. You can spend an hour or two online, and you get yourself ordained. And it means absolutely nothing. There's something wrong when that's what church is. When the church has lost its interest in winning the lost. When the church has lost its interest in reaching out. And, it's sad that sometimes it takes an event of seeing a young person die to realize that it's sad that sometimes that happens, but it shakes you. It shakes you up. It says, no, we don't have much time. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus is coming quickly. Jesus is coming quickly. Jesus is coming quickly. What eternal fruit is my life producing when I stand before Jesus? And he asks me, and he opens up the books where my life is recorded, everything that I said, everything that I didn't say, everything that I did, everything that I didn't do. What will those books say about my life? Did I fulfill my purpose? Did I make a lasting impact on humanity? Did I do what I was supposed to do? Did I reach who I was supposed to reach? Christianity is the most selfless religion that there is. It's about coming to Christ, letting him touch us, and then becoming a servant to people, a servant to Christ, a servant to say, Jesus, I will take your message and tell as many people as I possibly can with my life until the day that I come to see you. And for you, maybe you're a professional, maybe you're a business owner, maybe you're a mom, maybe you're in school. It doesn't matter. Where you are, the people that are all around you, they've never met anyone like you before. They've never met someone that actually believes, that actually has the power of God in them. Think of it. We're the children of God. This is what the Bible says. Those that receive Jesus through faith are the children of God. When I walk into a hospital room, it's not Jeremiah walking into a hospital room. It's a child of God walking into the hospital room as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. I don't have to walk in there timidly. Well, we're just going to hope that something happens here. If it be thy will, Lord. I walk in there knowing what God's will is. I walk in there knowing that this sick person, that this diseased person, that this lost person, it is not their will, not God's will, that they go to a lost eternity. It is not God's will that they live in sickness and disease. It is not God's will that they suffer in poverty. It is their will that they prosper in all things and be in health. It is God's will that they spend an eternity in heaven praising, worshiping our wonderful Heavenly Father with all of the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy." That is the will of the Lord for that person's life. I can walk in there with confidence. With confidence. When I see someone on the street that's peddling drugs, that's bloodshot eyes and stoned or whatever, I don't have to just be like, "Oh boy, this is going to be a tough one." I can walk with confidence and say, "God has a plan for your life. God wants to use you. You can be set free from that stuff right now." What eternal fruit is my life producing? You might just want to take a couple days and really think about that and meditate on that. What eternal fruit is my life producing? We love nice things. We love nice houses, nice cars. I'm for all of it. Possessions, I'm for it. Yep, when you're a child of God, you should be blessed. You should live in the best of the land. You should drive the best of the land. You should wear the best of the land. I'm for it. But when you die, when I die, all of that stuff stays here. But the people that you minister to, they don't stay here. They're either going up, they're going down. Amen? We need to make sure that our lives are making an eternal impact. Since we're already in James, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 5. It's the book right before it. You know, I like to tell people where the book of the Bible is that I'm going to, because when I was starting out as a Christian, they just assumed everybody knew where Philemon was. I didn't know that was a book. I didn't know Habakkuk was a book. And now you're asking me to go there? So it would have just been nice, little encouragement, like, so you don't have to look like a total imbecile. You know, the pastor read it 5 minutes ago and you're still looking for it. You don't want to go to the very front of the book in the glossary, because then everybody knows that you don't have a clue. I try to help you guys out. I hope some of you appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Talking about Jesus. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To all who obey him. How can you obey him if you don't know what he's telling you to do? How can you obey him if you don't know what his word says? How can you obey him if you're not ever listening to the word of God being preached? How can you obey him if you're not getting into prayer and hearing from the voice of God? This is what I want you to do with your life. How can you obey him to go and minister to someone if you're only ever concerned about yourself? How can you obey him if you don't ever give him the time of day? God, he is the author of eternal salvation for those who obey him. You know, and I mentioned it last week, but I don't think I actually read it. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Because if you don't know where to begin to obey him, I'm going to give you the very easy, quick answer right here. Granted, there's other things that apply, But Mark chapter 16 gets right to the point. And if you obey him in this, I guarantee other things in your life will begin to fall into obedience as well. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked them. And he rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You know, when I was listening to, on the way, interesting thing happened, on the way down to Tampa, my flight from Baltimore, connecting flight from Baltimore to Tampa, got booked completely full, and I was flying as a standby passenger, and so I had to figure out, you know, you as a standby passenger, you have to get a little creative and figure out, well, I mean, how can I get down there? So the closest place that I could get to, or to get to Tampa within the least amount of traveling time, was to fly to Panama City, which, if you know anything about Florida, Panama City's up on the panhandle up by Pensacola. It was a 6-hour drive. And so I had, you know, I wasn't upset about that. I mean, I was blessed with this flight, very grateful for it. And, you know, didn't have to pay for it, so I'm thankful for it. And, you know, so I get there, I rent a car so I can drive from, you know, from Panama City down to Tampa, 6-hour drive. And I'm like, well, I'm not just going to, like, waste time. I'm gonna press in on this drive. And so I turn on Dr. T.L. Osborne, who's one of the most, like, phenomenal world evangelists. He really started mass crusade evangelism, miracle evangelism. And I was just listening to these messages of him, and I believe when he shared this in the early 2000s, these messages, I believe he was in his 70s. And I mean, you should have heard this guy. He puts young preachers like me to shame. I mean, the way that he's just like full of life, carrying on, just preaching full of boldness. And he was, and you know, if anyone knows about miracles, it's him. I mean, everywhere he went, like, I mean, you can look it up, look up the pictures, look up what happened, but like, the most amazing, wonderful, impossible miracles took place through his ministry. And he began, and he was talking about it, and he was saying, miracles are what makes the gospel make sense. Because you go and you tell someone that Jesus died on the cross for you and that he shed his blood for you, it's like, that all sounds kind of weird. You know what I mean? I mean, in all honesty, like, I mean, well, what's that have to do with me? How does that apply? But you come into contact with the presence of Jesus. You see a miracle take place. You see somebody with deaf ears open. You see somebody not just blind, but with no eye sockets and eyeballs just create. Like, these are the kinds of miracles documented that took place. You see that, and you're like, okay, I don't even care if this stuff makes sense. I need it. Jesus, come on. And Jesus, in his great commission to us, the believers, he says, we will go out, we will preach the gospel to every human being, to every person that we come across, to every person. We will go out and we will preach the gospel, and these signs will follow. And these miracles will take place. And then, it says, so then, in verse 19, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. They went out and preached. They came, you know, and I mean, like they came to the upper room. They got filled up. But they did not stay in that upper room. They went out onto the streets. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved on that first day. And they went out and they were bold and they were confident with their faith. They were confident. They knew who they were. They knew they were ambassadors of Christ. And they laid hands on the sick. They spoke the word of God. And they saw miracles take place in the name of Jesus. Why? Because they simply believed. I think one of the biggest problems with our American church is we're too smart and we complicate everything. And for me, as an American citizen and as a German citizen, I'm even more complicated. German engineering, right? They complicate everything. If you don't believe me, ask Brian. He's a mechanic. He works on all kinds of cars. And he'll tell you, German cars are the most complicated to work on. But we like to, you'd like to think that, you know, well, if I'm going to have a miracle take place, well, then I better preach a whole sermon to this person. If you got time, great. But what if you don't have time and you just have a moment to minister to this person and then go on? You can minister to that person with full confidence, not that you have any power, but that the power of Christ will flow through you. When you lay your hand on that person, it's not the power of Jeremiah, it's not the power of Julia, it's not the power of any person, it's the power of Jesus flowing into that person. Amen? And they will be healed. Amen? So this is our great commission. Go out, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick. Anything tries to stop you, doesn't work. Snakes, poison, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing can stop you. You are an ambassador for Christ. You have been called by God. You have been chosen by God to make a difference in this generation, to make a difference in this region. That's what we're going to do all over Brockport, all over Rochester, and all over Buffalo. Amen? And that's just the beginning. That's our starting point. That's just where we're starting. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go from here? But we're not going to sit back. We're not going to relax. We're not just going to sit around having church potlucks and pie auctions. No, we're going to believe God for a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see every single member of this church raised up and charged in faith to believe God that when they go out, that the power of God is going to flow when they touch someone. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands. Heavenly Father, today we come to you and we receive power. We receive boldness. Holy Ghost boldness to do everything that you've called us to do. To be bold to speak your word. To go out and to minister. To lay hands on the sick. To cast out devils. To see our generation changed. To see this region shaken. To see wherever we're from, that land will come under the power of God, that those people will be convicted by your Holy Spirit, that they will come into your kingdom. God, we desire greater boldness to operate in the gifts of your Spirit. We desire greater boldness to minister by your word and by your Spirit. We desire to flow with you, God. I thank you that your power is coming, is falling in this room right now on every single one of these believers here this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask that you fill them this morning with great boldness. I thank you that these people here today will make an impact on their family, will make an impact on their neighbors, will make an impact on their coworkers, on their colleagues, on their fellow students, will make an impact on the people that are around about them every day, that wherever they go, people will see that they belong to God and that He has blessed them. I thank you that every single one of these people here today is an ambassador for you, God. And as an ambassador, we walk in the authority that you have given us. We walk in the power that you have given us. I thank you that we will make a difference in this region, in this nation, in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, God. And God, as always, we give you all the glory because we know that it's not our power. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. God, we thank you that it's your Spirit. It's the baptism of your Holy Spirit that comes upon the inside of us that causes us to operate in this power. God, we thank you for your Spirit working in us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.